For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The morning DNA for May 3rd, 2021. I'm Aaron Dyson, the man of a single black shirt. She is Danae Hughes, the woman of a million distractions. I heard the echo.
I'm sorry.
You must have set up a puppy cam and forgot to mute it.
Well, I don't know that I can actually mute it. It's not working well. But it's a handheld puppy cam. So you want to put it on there?
Yeah. Yeah, I can mute it if nothing else. So yeah.
Hello, everybody. Good morning.
Everybody, say hi to the puppers.
Hello.
We'll put them center stage as they well deserve to be.
Hello. They're going to be singing a happy birthday to Rennie in chat.
There you go. Puppy Cam birthday song from the puppers.
I literally can't
this morning
do anything else, so I probably should just take off the puppy cam because I'm like literally just gonna have to hold my arm here.
Right.
Yes, those Slap are my nunchucks. Check it out. Those are my nunchucks.
Oh, nice. Slap says, "Yep, he's gonna do the whole song."
Yeah, I know. I realized he was. So, do you see Slendemon? Yeah. Slendemon's comment.
It's Rennie's birthday, so yeah.
I can't put comments up. Okay, I've got one hand on my phone, the other hand throwing up comments. Yes, that
Thanks
was
for.
Rennie, so happy birthday to you. We hope it's a wonderful day.
Yeah. Got one hand in my pocket and the other one is doing a puppy cam.
Nice. Nice job.
There you go. Thank you. How are you, Danae? Do you need to put the puppy shit here? There we go. We'll remove the puppy cam, remove the distraction.
I tried to give you the hint, but you know, you're distracted this morning, apparently.
I don't think so.
Yeah, 100% you are. I can tell.
What am I distracted by, you think?
You're distracted by, okay, are there sports going on? Anything Michigan-y?
Nope.
Any children in detentions?
children in detentions. No, if I am distracted, that's probably it. It's probably just graduation coming up in a couple weeks for one of my boys and just trying to work through that and get to that day and get them up there for their diploma and all that kind of fun stuff. So yeah.
Or their education.
Yeah. It's like heavy duty parenting going on right now. You know, just trying to do what I can to help my kids succeed. So
yeah. Mine is potty training. So
oh,
totally different ends of this. That's of the a
different
spectrum.
Kind of heavy duty parenting.
I completely missed that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about it because, you know, it's just one of those things that you have to do. But I will tell you that all of the parents that I've ever been around, they all have very similar advice. And so I assume that if every parent says it, it's going to happen. So I haven't been panicking about her lack of interest in going to the restroom like an adult because, you know, it's a transition. And then she had her fourth birthday on April 20th. And someone said something to her in her in her sphere. Someone, I think it was one of her childcare providers. She goes to like her grandma's house for a couple days a week, and then she goes to another person's house, a friend of ours, who just watches a few kids. I think it was one of them or one of the kids said, "Now that you're four, you get to go potty in the potty." And I mean, like that was what she needed. She just needed someone to tell her, "Hey, you need to be. You're four. It's time to do it."
I'm four.
She's like. Yeah. So she's like, I'm four now, so I need to go to the potty. The potty, we're like, yeah, you do. Uh-huh.
If only we'd have thought of this when you were three.
So you're not wrong, JCD. It is a crappy job. It is. It's weird, but it's good. I mean, you have to teach a little one everything about everything. And so this is just part of the teaching them everything about everything. I'm just thankful we're not having to do a lot of it out in public restrooms, because I'm really not looking forward to that. We're all just still at home for the most part. And so it's just like the comfort of our own environment. So if there's a big mess or something, it's like our space rather than having to think about something happening in a public restroom, which are already so stressful for me. I hate public restrooms. I mean, who loves them? But
you really start to recognize even your own subtle bias, like shame biases that you have with your body and with, you know, bodily functions and all that kind of stuff. Because you're right, there is an element of, this is gross, we don't talk about this, like, you know, and it's like, you got to teach your kids everything. You have to teach her how to wipe. You have to teach her, like, everything involved with.
Yeah, I was going to skip all that conversation, but yeah,
it's everything. I don't want to, because I think that adds to the difficulty in, like, having those legit conversations. And I know it grosses some people out, but, you know, I think it's important to take away the stigma of talking about that stuff, because it's just something we all do and we have to do, right? So
yeah. You do. And someone has to teach you how. I had to, you know, like, okay, we're going there. Okay. Like, when you wipe for girls, you have to wipe in a specific pattern. This is something you have to think about. So yeah, you have to teach them. Yep. I remember. So, okay, this is it. This is the last of it. And then we're done. Promise.
Good. No, I'm glad. I'm glad. Promise? I'm glad we're talking about this. Yes. You got it.
Okay. We'll move on. So I remember when I was little, I was like 6 years old, little, because I was in a specific house. We moved out of, I think, my first memories are in this house. And so I think I was potty trained in this house. But anyways, I was having trouble going number two. And so my dad must have invented, or maybe it was my mom. I think it was my dad, though. I remember my dad doing it specifically. He called it the poo-poo handle.
It's great. I already love this. I already know where this is going, and I love it.
And so he's like, you know, because when we would drive, if there was a semi truck or something, we would do the choo-choo thing, and like, you'd like pull. He's like, it's like that. You grab the poo-poo and you pull down, and it helps you poop. I am at the point now where I'm ready to just pass this wisdom on to my kid, because I remember sitting on the toilet going, and then I remember. And I also remember telling a friend about the poo-poo handle later and then looking at me like I was nuts. So like, no, people don't do that. You don't have poo-poo handles. It is just like this invisible handle you're supposed to pull anyway.
That's amazing. It's invisible. I thought for a second there he installed an actual handle for you.
No. What is the poop knife?
Oh, we don't need, you know. There are limits.
Okay. That's what my name says. I don't poop. I wasn't aware humans poop. Hey, we're glad to educate you this morning.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
Elizabeth says only guys poop, not girls. Obviously.
Yes, Renee, let's buy wisdom here. Stereotype.
My neighbor is potty training her son. He's trying to use it as a control thing. I can do this whenever I want and you can't make me. But sometimes this backfires on him because he's new to this and he can't always control it. Yeah. That's the thing, man.
Kids,
I need to have some. Okay. We're not talking about potty training anymore, but just kids stuff in general. I listened to a really.
Yeah, I made a pinky promise. I'm ready to move on. So
early on, I listened to this really incredible teacher. Her whole premise, I think I've talked about this before, just in general, but the title of it was, I don't remember the title, but the general gist of it was how to not be a yelling parent. And I came from a yelling parent home. And so I am very aware that I wanted to have levels of reaction. And so I was trying to understand like that. So she was like, I think 7 or 8 months old when I started watching this. A lot of the stuff I learned, I couldn't even put into use yet, but just to kind of get myself in the mentality. And then I go back and I watch this semi-regularly to kind of remember and remind myself. And it was really interesting. I learned that kids have a couple of buckets that need to be filled up. One of them is their control bucket. And that is if you can give your child a sense of control of their environment, then they have less chances of acting out because they feel in control. And then, of course, another one is healthy attention, you know, making sure that you're giving them some kind of attention. Mm-hmm. And if those buckets are really low, then oftentimes there is a reactionary or they're acting out to get something back that they need.
Right.
And so this made sense to me. And so we, from a very early age with her, give her a lot of choices so she feels in control. Stuff that doesn't matter, like, you know, what do you want to wear today? And we'll give her two options and she has control of what she wears. Or do you want to open the car door by yourself? Or do you, you know, like these kinds of things where we don't have to give her choices, but we give her choices. Yeah. So now she's bossy, which is great. I have a leader. I'm training a leader. So I've got more work to do.
Bossy comes with its own line of pros and cons. That is for sure. Her personality right from the beginning, though, as she has, you know, aged into her personality, has been very strong, and I love it. Like, you know, there's a real strength to your girl and kind of how she sees the world and what she wants.
She's direct,
and so, yes, and she's very direct. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
She bosses. There's a little girl that she plays with regularly, and I had a chance to observe her for a little bit. She goes over and she's just giving it to her, not like in a nasty way, more like a scoot over. This is where I want to sit, that kind of thing. And so and the little girl just was like, okay, you know, and kind of uncomfortably moves over. And here I am, like my little wounded child inside of me. I'm identifying with a little girl that scoots over. I'm like, oh, no, you don't. You don't walk all over that little girl that doesn't know how to stand up for herself. Like, so I have, and I didn't actually say that to Iris, but I have decided that my next level of trying to appropriately help my child become a good person is to understand how to speak kindly. So, because she can be direct and she can be a leader, but if she uses her words strategically, it might benefit her.
Yes, totally.
So,
you ready to show?
Yes, I'm ready to show.
All right, let's get into it. We are going to do the DNANU. We'll have a D topic and A topic and as many U topics as you want to throw our way and as we want to answer. Nick made it. Hey, Nick. Glad to have you along. No Clue says good afternoon, by the way. Winky face. Where's No Clue that he's saying afternoon?
I don't know.
Obviously,
I don't remember.
3 hours east of us somehow, at least.
We can't go on with the show now. Sorry. JCD just said, so not to distract from the show, but I just stumbled across a critter at work. We need more information.
Yes.
He says, going to get a picture. I don't know how you're going to share that with us, but we're all about it.
Yeah, definitely.
I guess Twitter.
While we are waiting for that, though, let's go ahead and get into it. By the way, if you have U topics, which are things you want us to talk about or questions you have for us, whatever it might be, you can throw those in at any time. The closer to the U topic section, the better, because sometimes comments do disappear from our ability to see them. But if you do, make sure you put a U at the beginning of the question or topic you want to talk want us to talk about. But we kick it off with the D topic every day, and that's Danae.
That's me. Not every day, but every episode.
What do you got?
Every episode.
Okay. Let me pull this one down. What is your time warp activity? Okay, so this is an activity that you start, and then you just blink, and hours have passed.
Yes. Yes.
So you start it, poof, hours are just gone.
What brings you to this topic today? And did you lose some hours? Is a migraine your time warp activity?
Oh my God. So legitimately, yes, I had a migraine yesterday and I lost my entire day. I don't know where it went. I don't even know how I functioned. I remember my husband leaving to get food at one point in time and I woke up and it was hours past when they had returned. And I thought that it was Monday and that I was late for work. And I was wondering why Iris and Justin were still there. It was like this strange thing. So yeah, for sure for me, migraines. But also, I have really been wanting to get back into video games. And I can't because I can't time warp. I have to think about my schedule as it is right now and kind of go, it is so hard for me to limit myself. And there's a couple of games I want to play where it's really fun to do like more of an immersion style. There's a one in particular I would love to dip my little creative brain and fingers and everything into it. I just can't.
Do you want to say what it is? Do you want to say what it is?
It's that Red Dead Redemption game that has the role play server.
You've been watching a lot of streams of Red Dead.
Oh my gosh. And there's this one particular streamer who I really am enjoying, but there's like all these people that I've since branching out into that sphere. I've been following multiple of these people who like play this video game. They, all of their audio that they have in the game is all as the character. And it's just these really interesting stories and it's just got my mind going. And so I'm just like, oh, if I had time, if I had time, I would lose myself. And I mentioned something in one of the chats actually like, oh man, I wish I could play. And someone said, well, just play. And I didn't want to bring everyone down and remind them that some of us work 50 hours a week and our parents. And then we also have our side projects like this that take a priority and
work-life balance.
Work-life, everything is something where you have to, there's a trade-off, right? And for me, it would be sleep. I would have to do it instead of sleeping. I love sleeping so much.
And sleeping is healthy, by the way. Probably should get a certain amount of sleep every night.
Your body
seems to be important.
Definitely has to recover. So that was kind of one that I just realized it is a time warp for me. So I have them in my life already. And then there's ones that are tempting. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to know what you guys thought, like things that you do, activities you participate in that you're either having so much fun or you just get, you're so into it. You're so focused that you look up and hours have passed. So,
yeah, some good answers here. Doc says, I call that a nap.
I know, right?
Yes, a nap could definitely be that. Slindemon says sewing.
For your hookie smookies.
So what's interesting about activities like sewing that are like repetitive nature kind of activities is you can lose a lot of time because it's just the same thing over and over. And you get in this rhythm of like this mental rhythm of just, you know, kind of checking into this. And I am not somebody who's built to enjoy that kind of stuff. But I know many people who are, and yeah, that is something where, you know, whether it's knitting or sewing or some sort of repetitive activity that, that people, you know, just lose themselves in.
You just kind of like sink into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, you're in the groove or you're in the sewing groove as it would go.
Totally.
Watching, another Twitch channel, Donovan says Moco Made. That's true too. I have so many Twitch channels I love and I'll have them on. And then like half of a day has gone by. I've just been hanging out with people peeking through their window. Yeah. So to speak. Watching a movie from Slab. That counts. Of course.
Absolutely counts. Lucas, I like his answer. For me, it's practicing the guitar. I spend hours practicing and don't notice the time passing despite the pain in my fingers. I have fun.
So there is a Twitch channel that you might like, Lucas. It's called Cactus Room, which rhymes with practice room. And it's someone who, like, for 8 hours a day, they practice their classical guitar. I think they're going for their, like, master's or something. They're in school, so they're, you know, studying. And it's just literally him working out these really incredible classical guitar sections of music. So just something to keep in mind. I thought that I would share that with you.
Jose says, playing One Night Werewolf. I remember playing with friends once. I looked at my phone thinking it'd been about 45 minutes and 3.5 hours had passed. Yeah, playing fun games with friends is definitely something like that. You probably experienced that with D&D too, where it's you're just hanging out and then you look at the clock and like, poker can be like that for me. Like, you know, I can play poker for, you know, 4 or 5 hours and not realize it's gone by because it's just, you know, it's so fun.
Yeah, you're not wrong. When you're having fun, it's pretty incredible. There's been several times in my game that I play with my players, and we'll get to a stopping point, and I'll say, okay, and that's where we're gonna end our game tonight. And they're all so pumped, and they're like, no, we just a little longer. And every time we've done that, the little longer turns into an extra 3 hours, and suddenly it's 2 in the morning or something. And we're like, we all have to go to work the next day. So yeah, you got to be careful.
Jessica says, I play the Marvel Avengers game on PS4, but I can't play it if I only have a little bit of time because the missions take a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. If I was to pick up another game, I picked up World of Warcraft again a few months ago just to try it out. Downloaded it onto my computer, and someone sent me like a month free. So I restarted my old account and I opened up my old character, and it was really fun. And I only got to play for like 45 minutes. I think I got one mission done, and it just doesn't feel right. It just doesn't feel right.
Yep. Donovan says, recently I've been reading Ready Player One, and I just get lost into that world. Reading is definitely one for a lot of people. Caleb says, video games can definitely be a time warp. So many hours lost to Mario Kart. I do relate with that one. When I used to play video games, Mario Kart was one of my go-tos for sure. Depending on a project, video editing can be a real time warp since you're altering the time of whatever you're working on. It's a great point. Whoa. Definitely a great point.
My mind just got bent, man.
That's Not My Name says, weirdly enough, binge watching TV shows. This is the one I was going to bring up because this is probably the primary example for me. But I just watched a couple episodes. No, it was 7 episodes, and it's 6 hours later. Mm-hmm. I experienced that this weekend. In fact, my topic comes from a binge I experienced this weekend. So okay. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, a confirmation on video editing for sure. Mm-hmm. Doc says, this past Saturday, I participated in an Among Us stream. We started at 5 PST and ended between 8:30 and 9. Goo. Oh my gosh. Yeah, so many are video games. I think anything that you can get lost in, like a story. So video games are all about that story too. So whether it's on Netflix or, you know, if you're involving yourself in a story, this happens to me with books as well. If I jump into a book that I really enjoy, an entire day will go by. And every second that I can spare is spent trying to just speed read to know what happens next. And, you know, I've lost a couple of days. So
Nick says, Danae, I started playing StarCraft 2 right now and I'm having the same problems. It's so fun. And I had to choose between running errands and playing this morning. Get sucked into that game.
Yeah, it is. It sucks. It sucks when you have to weigh your time differently.
Adulting is hard. I hate adulting.
Now, I have saved up a little bit of money right now, right? And I've never been good at that before. And now, and maybe this should be my topic next week. Now I want to go, like, I really want to go and visit someplace other than the US, like go travel the UK for a month. But I have a kid. And so it's like, oh, I have money now, but I didn't when I had time. And when I had time, I didn't have money. And so it's like, there's always this weird trade-off. And so same with this time warp thing. Sometimes you're like, oh, I wish I had time. Maybe I'll just call in sick today. Maybe I'll call in sick today and work.
Wally says, Saturday before last, I read a whole book. It was a whole day on the couch with a pot of tea and a book. Oh, lukewarm. You know, plant water. Nice.
Lolly. Don't take the bait. Don't take the bait, Lolly.
It felt so self-indulgent to have a whole me day. It's good though, right? See, here's the thing though. Work-life balance goes both ways. And it's important if you have the ability to build in that time, that me time. I think that's really important. I definitely build in me time to my work-life balance. You have to. There are some weeks you can't. Almost any job has busy times where, you know, you're not going to have the me time. In other weeks, you'll have more me time. And that to me is what's important, is not forcing yourself to work when you don't have tasks you have to accomplish in that moment. So, yeah.
I agree. When we had Iris and, you know, we were dealing with, okay, now we're parents. This is our number one. Mm-hmm. Listen to the advice of many who said you have to take time for yourself, even if it doesn't feel right to do so. And so we both have personal activities. Justin does his thing and I do my thing, and we are there for each other. And I've been judged for it, which is fine. That's going to happen. But for me, getting one night a week to play games with my friends keeps me filled up. Right. So I have more to give. So it's an interesting, and I think it's good for Iris to learn too, that she doesn't always have, you know, access to mom and dad, that we are individuals as well. Mm-hmm. I think that's healthy, but you know, we all just try new stuff. So anyway,
I think maybe I'm wrong about this because of my own personality and my own instincts, but it does feel to me like our culture is off balance towards the work side of things.
Yeah, I think so too.
That we definitely live in a work ethic culture. And what we mean by work ethic is always working. You're always working your hardest. You're all, and like, that's not how you're healthy. Like, that's just not healthy. And so, yeah, I think culturally we do need a shift from understanding what work ethic really means. Work ethic should mean getting your tasks done, you know, being productive, and at the same time, creating a healthy life for yourself. So, yeah.
So I remember reading something. I don't remember what it was, but it was in our radio days. So it's been sometime in the last decade. But it really helped solidify for me that we as beings are not intended to make conscious decisions all the time. So when we engage in a new project and we work more and more and more, we're making more and more and more decisions. And the way that it was presented was something like, you have so many decisions you can make in a day.
Right.
And when you make those decisions, your brain starts to tire. And you can still go, but there's taxation on your mind and your body when you do that, which is one of the reasons why sleep is important. It kind of resets it. Your literal body heals. You go into that state of healing, all this stuff. Anyhow, so when you have a child, for example, all of a sudden the decisions you're making skyrocket, which is one of the reasons you get quote unquote mom brain or dad brain or baby brain, which is where you're just suddenly doing so much more. There's so much more output that you're not used to. This happens maybe when you enter into college or when you're entering into a new job. There's just this taxation where you have the same amount of hours in the day, but suddenly you can't remember how to say the word refrigerator. So it's like, whoa. So there's this kind of thing. I just did a really quick search while you were talking, and I was thinking about just the importance of how, like, your energy output. Whoa. Mm-hmm. And I read this. This is from a quick Google search. So we know this is incredibly accurate.
Oh, yes, of course. The internet is never wrong.
Okay. We make dozens of decisions every day, some simple, some more complex. Some internet sources estimate that an adult makes about 35,000 conscious decisions each day. We make about 226.7 decisions each day on food alone, according to researchers at Cornell University.
Now that you say that, I really see in my own life a real instinct to limit my decisions. The man of a single black shirt, the fact that I eat pretty much the same thing every day. Like, I limit my brain's need to make a lot of these decisions so that I can, you know, make decisions that are more important to me. So yeah, that's interesting. I never thought of it that way. I never thought of my, like, efficiency as actually being a brain saver.
A resource management.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way.
So maybe that's just something else too. And you know what? Sometimes it's good to go, I am going to do this activity that feels positive, and it's going to take up a good chunk of time. And you know what? Sometimes I feel like that's important. Sometimes I feel like our body says, go engage in this activity, because then you're going to go into a state where you're actually healing. I'm not saying that we should all play video games for a living, although that would be great. But I am saying that you have to follow your instinct, like Lolly's instinct to read a book. Like, it's okay to take time to sit and be still and do something that just feeds your soul, because it has to come out.
Well, people do think that we watch movies for a living, which is only partially true. There's certainly a lot more to it than that. Boy, don't play. Oh, go ahead. You got Nick there.
Right. I'll say, I don't have time for a 2-hour movie. I'll watch a show. And 4 hours later, I'm like, oops, 4 episodes later.
There are levels of self-awareness in many different areas of our lives. Time management is all of our worst level of self-awareness. We think we are so much like that we can't do a certain thing because we don't have time. And it's really just about time management. It's about shifting things around, you know, priorities, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, we've all experienced that where it's like, I don't have time to do this. And then you sit and watch 6 hours of a TV show or something. Yeah. It's like, oh, maybe I did actually have time.
Best thing is when you're self-aware and you call yourself out on it. That's the next level. Right. The next level will be like, and I have a double standard.
Well, and it's like, and I even tell people, they're like, you know, I have many people in my life who are like, oh, that movie sounds awesome, or that show sounds awesome. I just don't have time to watch it. And it's like, I mean, you know, I get it. I get what you're saying, but
you do.
Like you're if you're not prioritizing, which is fine. I'm not here to tell you what you have to watch. I'm just saying, you know, the excuse of I don't have time is often not actually an accurate excuse.
It is. Yeah. It is an accurate excuse. It's just they might lack the ability to say that's not a priority of the time that I have.
Right, right.
Which is the answer.
Sure. And it goes back to what we were talking about with a cultural understanding of what is important in your work-life balance and how much that's usually work in this culture.
On the flip side, here's something from Caleb who says, I can't watch TV. It's like an anti-time warp that just makes me more aware of the time I'm spending on a show. Mm-hmm. I have those activities too, where it feels like I'm wasting time rather than, mm-hmm. you know, losing time. And I suppose someone might say you're losing time when you're playing a video game, but however, most of the time I'm really enjoying myself. But yeah, I know what you mean there.
This is what I was saying. The Boy Don't Play puts it much simpler. You always have the time you need for the things you value the most.
Yep.
That is it. What you spend your time on will show what you value.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's good. That's really good.
Yeah, there's a saying about something about like tending the garden. Like if you go over and you tend the and you spend time in those places, mm-hmm. and that stuff grows. And if you don't, it gets all funked up. Mm-hmm. I don't know garden terminology.
I think that's technical terminology. Elizabeth says, me this morning when I said I was going to exercise, but told myself I don't have time before the DNA. Then I sat and scrolled on my phone for 30 minutes. I feel you, Elizabeth.
Oh my gosh.
I totally understand.
Yeah. My favorite thing that I do right now is like, well, I could do yoga or something like and stretchy and move my body, but I don't have a yoga mat. When I have a carpeted floor,
right.
I could
right.
easily just
and
do
and
stuff.
Also could get a yoga mat very quickly for very cheap.
Like, yeah, but I don't want to get like a cheap mat. I want to do some research.
You really do have to trick yourself into like exercising. In general, if you're not enjoying how you're exercising, it really is more of a discipline thing, which is fine. We have to have discipline in our life. But I have really enjoyed playing disc golf so far this early, mm-hmm. like late spring, early summer that we're getting to here. And so for me, I've just said, well, if I'm going to play disc golf, I have to bike there and back. You know, because I'm within biking distance of this place. And that's been awesome because any day it's nice, I'm like, I got to get out and throw, you know, the Frisbee around, but I have to do a 15 minute bike ride both ways. And so I'm burning thousands of calories just to go play disc golf. And what's nice is the bike ride gets my heart rate up and then my heart rate stays up the entire round and all the way home. So I have like this nice 2.5 hour chunk where I'm really burning calories. It's really nice. But if you can find something like that, it makes it a lot easier because then you're like, oh, I want to go do this. You know,
but I'm going to trick myself.
Yeah, I mean, how much of life is tricking yourself into doing stuff?
I could trick myself, but then I outsmart my tricky self. I'm like, wait a second. I know what I'm doing. Oh, I'm too smart for my own self.
Am I really tricking myself or am I actively using my own desires against myself? I don't know. There's definitely, it's not against myself. It's for myself. Like it's helping me be a little healthier. So yeah, I think that's something I've really enjoyed this spring.
Well, this was a fun chippy chat.
JC Davis says, so you're saying I should put a donut at the end of the treadmill that I have to reach so that I actually use the treadmill.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Problem is, you get that donut pretty quick, and then you'd be done.
Depends on how fast the treadmill is going, I guess. You're not supposed to jump on them when they're going super fast.
I'm more saying if there's a donut place within walking distance, or within running distance, or within biking distance,
you have to
go
walk
ahead and go
there.
Grab a donut, but you got to walk there and back.
See, I can't do that. I can't trick myself to do that because I also know
you
I have a car.
You have a donut place within walking distance.
I do, but I also have a car, so.
Yeah, but then you spend the gas. Come on, just let your brain figure out why it's better. You know, it's better to walk.
Yeah, I can't. I'm too smart for my own good.
All right, you ready to move on to the eighth topic?
Yep, let's do it.
All right. I said it was a little bit based on binging a show. I found a reality show this weekend, just typical competition style reality TV that I love. And many people told me I would enjoy. And I'll tell you what it is here in a second. But it got me thinking about how many, many people are like, man, reality television is so dumb. It's all, you know, fixed. It's all, you know, rigged. It's whatever the complaint is about reality shows. But almost everyone I've come in contact that says that has a reality show they love. It's this really interesting thing where the genre is so broad that it's like, yeah, reality TV is trash, but I really love this show. Like, it's kind of one of those interesting things. So I was just curious, what's your favorite quote unquote reality show? And that may be a type of reality show. Like for Danae, I'm almost sure it's RuPaul. Drag Race is probably your go-to answer, something like that. There's others that you've talked about.
Yeah.
You know, the one I saw,
love
this
reality TV. I'm such a, that's, I think it's one of the reasons I love Twitch so much. It's like a real reality TV, but it's not produced reality TV. So it's like the best reality TV.
Yeah. I like
this is reality TV. Yeah. Right. Yeah. In a way.
Kind of in a way. Certainly, we'd accept this as your answer. This is your favorite reality show.
There are times when I will like log into some of my favorite Twitch channels and shenanigans are happening and I have the FOMO. Like it's like, oh, I can't look away because you never know what you're going to miss. There was one day I tuned in and one of my favorite reality TV personalities was twerking on a table. And I'm like, how did we get here? What is happening right now? What's the purpose of this? There's laughter. The chat is exploding and I've missed something. And it's like, there's just this, you know, desire to be there. And then there's other kinds of reality TV, like the produced stuff. I do like that stuff too.
Yeah. This is what I'm talking about. Donovan says, I hate reality shows, but Keeping Up with the Kardashians is a guilty pleasure. This is like I know there are some people who are probably just completely like, no, I hate them all. I don't watch a single one. But for the most part, people I come in contact, even the ones that hate reality TV, have their what they call a guilty pleasure.
Favorite one, I'm going to say it strongly and confidently, is the Great British Baking Show. Because they've removed the drama that the U.S. The U.S. twist of glancing over the time and glancing back
that
building up this
drama. Yeah.
Yeah. This forced drama or the tension or the division. They really like to go into the division of people or play into potential drama and just really inflate that stuff. And what a breath of fresh air that show is, because it's genuinely about the competition. It's genuinely about the passion of baking. And they tend to highlight more. They don't really go into the backstories of everyone. They do give like little vignettes of who they are or where they come from. But the show actually focuses more on the drama of baking in these kitchens that are like, because every kitchen's different. Mm-hmm. Every oven cooks differently. So you could practice something at home and it goes different. And that's the drama. The drama is if the bake is going to work, you know, it's so nice to be invested in something that is simple, I suppose, comparatively. And you get so much more invested in their success. So when something crumbles in the oven or it doesn't set correctly, they're okay with the producers are okay with watching the human emotion of managing disappointment, knowing that you've done everything you can or you've made a mistake, and they just sit in it. And that's the stuff that I find to be beautiful. And when you compare a show like that to any of the other ones that I've enjoyed watching, like my least favorite is Ink Master. I know it came up in the chat, actually.
I was going to say that was the first comment I was about to
But let me tell you, Jessica says, I've been binging Ink Master on season 4 right now. Okay. Ink Master is a paint by the numbers drama experience, reality TV experience. I have it down to a science. I watch Ink Master, but I literally will completely skip over 30 to 45 minutes of the show because I don't care about the drama that they're building up. They cast people who are going to be, you know, nitpicking and kind of like poking at each other and like the ones that are going to
inflate it. Well, that's how you do tattoos. You poke people. So yeah.
I just watch it. I want to see the art. So when I realized I'm watching it for the art and not for the drama, that's how I watch Ink Masters, but they're probably the very worst at hooking you into knowing what's going to happen next episode with the drama rather than the development of this really beautiful skill, right? So that's what I've realized over time.
America's Got Talent is the worst. I mean, I've never seen Ink Masters, so maybe Ink Masters is the worst. But as far as all that, the manipulative stuff that reality shows will do where they emphasize the drama or the story as opposed to the talent, America's Got Talent is the absolute worst at that. Do I still watch it? Yes, but I fast forward through so much of it because I just want to see the cool things that people can do. And I really wish, one of the things I love is when a reality competition show hires judges that are really smart and really understand the like stuff Harry they're talking Connick about. Jr. Yes, like when Harry Connick Jr. was on America's Got Talent, or not America's, I'm sorry, American Idol. He was such a great judge. I loved him on American Idol. Mm-hmm. So, of course, they got rid of him because, you know, whatever.
Because he was actually giving critical feedback.
The same as for Ben Folds on whatever that a cappella reality competition show was on for a while. I forget the name of the show. But Ben Folds is so smart about music and he knows it so well. And he would talk to them in ways where I understood about 70% of what he was saying. But the 30% I didn't understand, I wanted to understand. And I started to understand. I felt like I was getting smarter watching him talk, you know, to these people. And I love that. I love when the judges don't dumb it down to just, oh, you sounded beautiful. Oh, that sounded great. Oh, you have great stage presence. Okay, but tell me something, like teach me something about what they're doing. So yeah, I really do love that. And really don't like when a show becomes more about the big drama or story as opposed to who really is doing amazing, you know, stuff. And America's Got Talent is the worst at that, in my opinion.
I like watching competition shows, especially when there's this one that was awful. Like, and I loved it because it was so bad. The host wasn't great. Like, I don't know. I'll sit back and I'll watch and be like, and wonder, what am I, why am I watching this? Why am I spending my time on this? But I realized that in every circumstance, it is for the passion. The people who enter into reality TV shows, like specifically competition reality TV shows, they have a passion. And there's something so beautiful about watching a passionate person.
Sure.
You are like, I'm drawn to that. And I want to, I'm curious about what drives them or how they even got to the point that they're in. And so, it was called a Skin Wars. Highly recommend it. Isn't that right? Wasn't that right? Skin Wars, I think. Highly recommend it. It's a body painting competition.
Oh yeah, the body painting one. Yeah,
they're not in production anymore, probably for reasons. But their tagline, you know how they have the dramatic tagline at the end where like they've eliminated someone and
right, the tribe has spoken.
The tribe has spoken. Yeah. That statement. Yeah. Theirs was something along the lines of, "Go wash your canvas," and you ended. You ended the show panning over to a, this is so great, a shower, right? That has the whole middle section acid washed out so you can't see the naked bodies. And it's just a little bit of the women's head and a little bit of their like painted feet and all of this paint just being washed down the drain. Like you're literally watching two people shower together. It's so funny.
I never watched that show, but
My god!
But now you have my interest.
There's another one that's really great called Face Off. Do you remember that one?
I have heard of Face Off. I haven't watched
that one.
Any of this stuff, but yeah, I part of the problem with reality TV is how much I love it, and how much I enjoy it. So I have to be careful.
It's the passion. It's the passion of it. Face Off is artists.
I would love that show. I know 100% I would love Face Off.
Prosthetics for think like Star Trek type scenarios where every week you've got an episode where there's aliens and they're wearing sort of, you know, Worf's Klingon material or what have you. And so they're creating all of these prosthetics that you would use in TV or movies, and they're painting it, and you're seeing the behind the scenes stuff, like the Weta Workshop Lord of the Rings stuff, which I love behind the scenes type thing. Maybe that's another part of it. It's like reality TV is kind of a peek behind the curtain of a lot of different things. Yeah. So anyway. Yes, I love reality TV. I'm sorry. I can't help it.
No, it's great. And a lot of people are really got some great stuff going on here. So let's talk about a little bit this. Let's see. Lucas says, Aaron, don't even start on reality shows here in Brazil. We are very upset with the elimination of a very charismatic person on Big Brother Brazil last night.
Oh, no.
Love the Big Brother shows. I could probably watch Big Brother from every single country and not even need the subtitles. I just watch the people do people things. Like Big Brother is one of my favorites. And you know what? I haven't even mentioned the one I watched this weekend yet. It was and Big Brother reminded me of it because the reason people continue to recommend this show to me is because it has similar feel to Big Brother, but it's called The Circle and it's on Netflix, and there's two seasons on Netflix, and it's one of the only shows on Netflix they actually release weekly. So I found that interesting. So The Circle is about social media in a lot of ways, but it is that same thing of people in an environment. In this case, they are separated into different environments, and they can either be themselves or be someone else through social media. So they can either catfish or be themselves. And basically they're trying to not get eliminated, like many of these reality competition shows, or contest shows, I should say, are. And man, they cast that first season so well. And I liked so many of the people on it. And it's just, for me, one of the things I love the most is just kind of that voyeuristic nature of seeing human nature and just how people interact with each other, how people are kind to each other, and how people are mean to each other, and to have a little bit of self-awareness of, have I ever done anything like this? Have I ever been this kind of person to someone? And I really enjoy that aspect of it. So there's a lot of that in Big Brother. There's a lot of that in The Circle. There's a lot of that in Survivor. So those are some of my favorite, when you really get to see like group dynamics, how we relate to each other within a smaller, you know, culture. I love that stuff. The human psychology stuff is so fascinating for me to watch. And this show really goes into a lot of that stuff, because you're dealing with people who are either trying to be themselves or trying to be their idea of someone, you know?
I wonder if I would like something like that. I don't know. I think I might get triggered. I don't want to.
Well,
I don't want to.
I know, that's the thing, right? You don't know, and you might get triggered. I know some of it was, and when I say triggered in this case, I mean, you know, the light version of triggered where it's like, I don't like that. But some of it definitely triggered my wife, who was like, you know, I don't like people being fake. I don't like seeing people be fake. It's cringy to me. It's, you know, I don't like it. And so, you know, it was definitely something she wasn't necessarily interested in, but at the same time, she would find herself sitting down and getting sucked in, you know, like it's just, it's that kind of show.
It's easy to do that, especially like when you watch it and you're like, okay, now I want to know what happens. Then you just sort of binge the rest of it.
I watched the entire first season this weekend, as well as half of the second season. I'm in. I love that kind of stuff. So that's what that was. Big Brother reminded me of that. Caleb says, throwback from the OG YouTube reality show. Who reviews the reviewers? That's right. I won a reality show one time.
Did. Oh my gosh, I totally forgot all about that.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can find all that stuff on YouTube.
Oh my gosh, that was just like all of a sudden I'm having these memories of you doing that. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Donovan says, I'm so invested in MasterChef. I feel like a five-star chef after watching an episode of that show. Lots of cooking show answers.
Mm-hmm. My favorite thing is to watch reality TV shows where they have like a cooking competition style, and I'm making macaroni and cheese judging them. That's my favorite, because it's every single time that I watch Top Chef or something, I'm over there making the most elementary plate for myself, and I'm adding salt and I'm adding pepper and feeling really good about my choices. And they're making these insane things And I'm like, and well, so you know, many your presentation's a little off, though. So.
Slab mentions Tiny Master Chef with Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, yes. The little kid one, the little junior one.
Yeah. Jose says, my dad loves to cook, so we often watch cooking competitions. Final Table, mm-hmm. American Barbecue Showdown. Also craftsman competitions, because dad's an architect.
Okay.
So that's fun. Weekot says, top chef for me, very similar to what Danae says. I prefer a regular food competition. Mm-hmm. I just got into Top Chef, binged all the seasons over pandemic, and I'm watching the new season now and really enjoying Top Chef. So
yeah,
like
top
I
Chef's
said,
not bad.
There's very few reality competition shows I'm not going to enjoy because I love watching people be awesome at stuff. Like watching people be awesome at stuff is so fun. So yeah, I get into it.
The Boy Don't Play says, it sounds like it should be guilty pleasure. I have no guilt from watching Married at First Sight. It's people watching it at its best and the only show I consistently watch the day it airs.
This is what I always say.
I've never watched that one. But that does remind me about the personality driven ones that are more about the families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Little People, Big World was one I used to watch all the time. Mm-hmm. But then there comes a point when you realize there's a tipping point for me every once in a while on the ones about families, where I feel like the presence, it shifts from an interesting like documentary style into mm-hmm. this family is being paid money that they have to be paid to let these people just wreck their world. I don't know. I think that's probably a really major assumption. Wreck is obviously pretty quick stretch for me, but mm-hmm. I tuned back into Little People, Big World. I think it was in the last year. And they're focusing more on just a few members of the family, and some of them aren't mm-hmm. being videoed at all. And that's gotta be for contract reasons. And just makes you think about, and then there's the youngest son. He's using terminology that makes my heart hurt, where he's saying, there's just some things I don't want to be on camera. And I have an agreement with my family. We're not going to discuss these things here first. And mm-hmm. they did that. And now we have to talk about it. And so it's like on the table stuff that he didn't want to have to deal with in front of America. And he's mm-hmm. having to deal with it in front of America. And you can tell there's just this struggle of, I want to have some privacy, but yet there's cameras in my face. And so, you know, it's, I don't know. There's part of it that just shifts a little bit for me where I feel like, oh, if I watch this, I could be part of the problem. Does that make sense?
No, I'm totally with you. I was just getting ready to say there are types of reality shows that I don't watch because I do feel that there actually may be some detriment to human beings happening in them.
Those are very TLC for me. The mm-hmm. the people, the reality TV shows on TLC have that vibe for me, where it's just like, ooh, I don't know.
There's,
maybe.
But at the same time, all of it is, entertainment is exploitative at some level. But so finding that dial is interesting.
Jose said something. He said, I'm usually not a fan of drama in reality TV, but Survivor is a weird exception. That makes me think too, like there are certain reality TVs that you know going in, you're entering a competition.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then there's a beginning and an end. Whereas sometimes these reality TVs it's just an extension of someone's life. And it feels a little bit like a line to me.
And then another line that I have, and this is personal, I honestly am not saying this to cast judgment, as we weren't when we were talking about the TLC type shows either. But anything dealing with relationships is just hard for me because I value so much the idea of positive, healthy relationships. In so many of the relationship shows, I'm speaking, of course, of like The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, Married at First Sight, you know, whatever it might be where people are trying to get together. So many of them, you know, Temptation Island or, you know, whatever it might be. So many of them are so unhealthy. They have such an unhealthy idea of what it means to be in a relationship, and treating relationships as a competition itself is just one of those lines that I guess I have where I'm just like, that just feels too icky to me. Yeah, it's hard for me to enjoy that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's definitely, you kind of have those things. I did want to mention this too. The Boy Don't Play mentioned Songland. This is such a great show. This is the show that is currently airing, or was before COVID, and probably will have more seasons. where basically songwriters come in to pitch songs they've written to amazing songwriters. And it is some of the most I've learned about songwriting. Like, it is so good. It's that level I was talking about where the judges know what they're talking about and actually are teaching in many ways. I really, really enjoy it. And it's so fun to watch these incredible minds like create, like make their songs better. And just, you know, they'll just have a keyboard next to them. They're like, what if we did this chord to this chord? And it just completely changes the song and how it catchy it is and how it feels. Like, I just, yeah, Songland is definitely one I've been enjoying as well. So that's a good one to look up. Man, this is good. Like, yeah, I said, you know, chat. there's always something going on.
It's interesting because we're talking too about time warp and how we choose to spend our time. And when we watch things like reality TV, I feel like we kind of learned, someone mentioned, I don't know where it was, but somebody mentioned something about the annoying part of Chopped. Where does that come
from? That was up there somewhere. After the break is what they mentioned. And a lot of reality shows. American Idol is the show that really started the after the break thing. It's also the show that started, and by the way, they've stopped doing it completely because it's annoying. But the other thing in America's Got Talent, again, is the worst at this, is the results show where they have 2 hours to tell you something they could tell you in 5 seconds.
It's insane.
And so it's
that's
just,
what I'm saying. Yeah.
It's just all padding. It's just
kind of
all
learn,
padding.
You learn on those where to tune out and where to tune in. And what's insane is how trained we are is even the music. You'll hear a certain tune and you won't even recognize that you just turn instinctively and look to the TV to see what is being revealed. So reality TV is interesting. I hope we all have some sort of a healthy relationship with what we're watching and understanding why we're attracted to it.
Moko says, Danae, Calamity Cat's friend's son is going on the Circle. So may have a connection there. Jessica says, I've heard of the Circle, but wasn't sure if I'd want to watch it. The trailer made me think of the show Catfish, which I also binged a while back.
Me too.
There's definitely that element of it. And boy, do I find that fascinating. There's a guy on this season who, one of the most fascinating things I saw, I don't know, how are spoilers with reality shows? Does that, like, I'm not going to tell you like who goes home or anything, but as far as part of his, one of the competitions was to do like a makeup thing. And he was pretending to be like a sorority aged, like female, and his makeup was horrible. And immediately everybody knew. And it was just like one of those moments where it was like, it completely ruined his game because he wasn't able to,
back
it up and pull it off. I love that. Like, I just find that stuff so interesting when shows do that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Lots of Naked and Afraid conversation going on in the chat. That's another one I definitely watch. Survival shows in general. My favorite survival show, other than Survivor, which I don't actually think of as an actual survival show. I mean, let's be honest, Survivor is more of a personality drama kind of show. But the one I love is Alone. Alone is an incredible survival show. So if you're into that. You ready for the you section?
Yeah.
All right.
Everybody do your thing in the comments. Chicken wing, do the thing. The end of the show.
Let us know what you want us to talk about. If you've got a topic or a question, feel free to send it our way. It is time for the you questions. While the questions are coming in, take a drink.
No, I'm sorry. No drinking.
You see that?
What is that?
It's a bracelet that with like a hook clasp. My son got that for me.
Is he trying to bribe you?
I don't know. He was like, hey Dad.
Yeah, remember the time bracelet. I got you this bracelet? Also, can I have $500?
No. He's doing fine.
Oh, that's nice. That's really nice. Don't you have a bracelet like on your backpack that one of your kids made for you?
Yep, definitely.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was the one. I think he was like 10 or 11, and they were doing a project at school for Mother's Day where they were making bracelets for their mom. And so he made one for my wife, and then he was like, "But what about our dads?" And so he made one for me too.
That's sweet.
That's sweet.
Oh yeah,
that's
Mom's sweet. Day's coming up. Ooh.
It is.
I better think about that. I went to the very, very top and I'm scrolling down.
Okay, well, there's some here. Jose says, with graduation season coming up, what is something you wish you knew when you finished high school / college?
Whoa. I wish that they had taught
grammar, English.
And that's my answer.
Usage. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If there had been some kind of an attempt to assist me in that area.
Verb tense.
I wish there had been some kind of a finance class.
Yeah.
For sure. Even if it was something that started in elementary school, mm-hmm. just to kind of give a general sense of how, not to make money work for you or anything, but how to
just understanding it,
think ahead on it. Mm-hmm. Because if your parents don't teach you, you're screwed. Now, in my case, I think my parents did try to teach me and I wasn't listening. So maybe if it was coming from multiple angles, it could have been nice. Mm-hmm. And yeah, maybe math is part of it, but just a life skill, something about a life skill. I'm glad we had like a typing class and that was really helpful, but I already knew how to type because I was a computer whiz. So mm-hmm. That wasn't very helpful, but like a massive skill I lacked going into the real world was finances.
It's interesting because there are some topics they should teach in school and some they do. That parents can get a little bit protective about. Money is one of them. Any of the big discussions, sexuality is one of them. And schools do teach sexuality and things like that. But there are just some things that kids need to learn as part of the learning process that sometimes as parents we're like, yeah, but I don't, like there are vagaries to that. There's a, you know, a little bit of you know, how you use money, how you prioritize your use of your money is, you know, there can be disagreement on that. And so it's one of those things that I think schools in general try to stay away from anything that can kind of wander into the moral or the ethical or those kind of things. But,
yeah. Okay. I was forced to haul around a bag of flour and pretend it was a child for a week.
Right. I get it.
If I'm forced to do that, can we at least talk about money?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying schools, education has to.
It needs to be more well-rounded.
Yes.
And did flour deter me from going out and experiencing relationships? No, it did not deter me from going out and experiencing relationships. It was more of an annoyance. the best part of it was the kid who chucked his flower baby off of the balcony and it exploded on the first floor. That was the best thing. It was like this, we're done with this. And, you know, flowers flying everywhere and children are running. It was wonderful.
I do wonder if there's anybody whose story is like, I was going to be so sexually promiscuous.
Until
the flower baby. And... I mean, it's possible, I guess. You know, I guess it's possible. But
I saw a comment down recently from Lolly that asks, that says, wow, is the flower baby thing real? I thought it was fake. No, we definitely did that in our school. We had flower babies. And then the next year, we had the electronic babies. They were the brand new. Now I think it's all electronic, but they had the electronic mm-hmm. babies that have, you know, computer chip in them that tells, like when it cries and you have to carry it around for X amount of days. And then you have to feed it and hold it, and rock it, all this stuff in the night, in the movies, wherever you take it, you have to take care of it. And it is disruptive. The idea being that you have a general understanding of what it means to be a parent at a really young age.
We're kind of talking out of both sides of our mouth here though, because you're talking about wanting financial training in school, mm-hmm. but it would be similar to the parent training that was trying to happen there. Although
but don't skip. I feel like finances would be. So for example, here's an idea. At the beginning of the school year, start where you have a money. And then every time you come to your finance class, you're talking about where you are in your budget. You take money out for your certain expenses that month. You have a certain number left over. They kind of give you an idea. Here are some things you can invest in.
I think some schools do this, by the way. I just know that ours
great.
Didn't.
That would be great. I don't know that I would have liked it, but find a way to, that's the kind of the job of a teacher, right? Is to figure out how can you reach into the minds of these kids and pull something out. So what could Danae have enjoyed to learn? For me, I think a really wonderful lesson would be, I would have taken my spending money out. I would have spent it at the pretend stores getting candy or whatever. And then at the end of the school year, I'm looking at one of my buddies who invested it properly and bought a bike and mm-hmm. been like, how did you get a bike? How is this happening? You know, that right. would have been a good life example of what it means to spend now and feel the happiness of sugar now versus having something really cool later because you used your finances to your benefit.
Instead of using children as manipulative salespeople to raise money for all the different school things.
Oh, yeah. Would you like a candy bar? Although those candy bars that have the caramel inside are some of my favorites.
Yeah, they're nice. They're nice. I think I'm with you. The one thing I did want to mention that I look back on and I'm just so mad at with the flower baby thing. I think it was eggs at our school. And the reason I tell you I think it is because, you know what? The guys didn't have to do it. Just the girls. And it was one of those things where looking back, just how, you know, sexist so much mm-hmm. of that stuff is, and it's how sexist so much of sexual education is. And it's just, yeah, that stuff frustrates me looking back.
Here's a question from JCD who asks, have you ever been enlisted or volunteered for something you can't say no to? I got enlisted into giving a presentation later this week for Garden Club. And you couldn't say no, huh? I am somebody who only until the last 6 or 7 years of my life have learned the power of saying no. So yes, I have had so many experiences of not being able to say no and finding myself off on all kinds of adventures that I did not intend, I didn't think through. So yes. But the ones that I say yes to now, the ones where I like that I can't say no to, are all about really important things. Like, for example, my friend moving back from California and needing a place to live. And so I'm out on the land, clearing land, getting ticks, that kind of stuff. That stuff I can't say no to because the impact is too great. But when we were in radio, we actually did a lot of things we couldn't say no to because it was our job, but it was also kind of good to do volunteer work and to kind of get out there in the community and make an impact in a really simple way. So I think sometimes it's good to get roped into some things every once in a while.
Probably. I learned how to say no at a very young age. And it has benefited me, I think, greatly. I think we say yes to a lot, too many things. But yeah, I probably could say yes to more things, but I don't. I am very particular about the things I agree to. So I don't really remember being volunteered for something, especially recently. That I had to do, but yeah, saying no is
also really great about being told no about stuff. Sometimes I'll call and be like, "Hey, I need a ride somewhere in 20 minutes," and I'll say, "Yeah, no,
okay, that's on me."
Oh, okay, yeah, okay, that's fine.
yeah, that's on me. Yep. Let's see, not a you question, but a shout out to Baby Slab. She's auditioning for advanced drama for 8th grade this week, and just have to share how proud I am of her. That's awesome, Slab.
Go get it, Baby Slab.
Elizabeth says, with Mother's Day coming up, what is the best Mother's Day gift you've given or have been given?
Oh, no.
Well, I already talked about my best Mother's Day gift I've been given, which was a bracelet for Mother's Day that is on my backpack.
I'm so bad about giving gifts, though.
Yeah.
Last year, I got my... Nope, that was for her birthday. I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm a horrible gifts person. I really am.
The only reason I remember this is because I have a picture of it as one of my profile pictures. Last year for Mother's Day, Iris and her daddy, she wanted to put a picnic together for me. And so we went to the backyard and put out the blanket and we had sandwiches and chips. And it was super simple, but she was so excited to do a picnic with me. And that meant a lot. So nice. I think that's my favorite one that I've gotten so far, although I'm sure I'm going to be getting many more interesting gifts. I don't remember what I've gotten my mom for Mother's Day, which probably just says a lot about me as a person. I just don't.
I do get her
things. But I don't remember what they are.
It was
if Breezy was here, she would tell me.
It was my wife's birthday yesterday. Happy birthday to my wife. And we decided to, for the first time in a long time, go out to eat together and had a good time. And at one point, my wife said something along the lines of, I don't even remember what we did for my birthday last year. And I was like, we probably didn't do anything. We just don't, I am such a bad gifts person that it is such a blessing and a miracle that I also married a bad gifts person who neither of us care. I don't know how great that is for our children, but we tend to do pretty good at remembering their birthdays. But like, as far as each other, you know, we'll try to celebrate our anniversary and that's basically it. I do not remember hardly any gifts I've ever given anyone.
This is probably a good one to end on. We're past 10 now. Yep. This one's from Caleb. Now that we're a year into COVID, what piece of advice would you give to your year ago self who's just going into lockdown? And this is something you guys can all answer for yourselves in chat too.
So are we talking May or are we talking March? Are we talking when it started or are we talking like actually a year ago? Because those are two different answers, I think.
I think you're thinking too much about it.
Oh, of course. Hi, my name's Aaron.
Hi, I'm Aaron.
I overthink everything.
Yeah, you
welcome.
Do.
Welcome to the show.
I'll answer then first. I think my general, because it's not just for me, it's not just COVID. It was, this year has been a year of learning a lot about racism, classism. There's just been so much conversation. It's been a political year. It's been a medical year. There's just been so much that has happened. I think the advice that I would give to myself would be to continue to let myself feel the emotion and be okay with being upset by it and try to find positive outlets, which I actually did. And so I'm kind of proud of myself, but let me tell you something. I've been talking to a couple people who are kind of coming out of this last year and a half, completely different people with different friends and different social circles because they've lost their support because of all the division and diversity that obviously was very alarming for a lot of reasons this last year. I think that one of the reasons I feel so much more stable is because I'm not on social media. I'm barely on Instagram and barely on Twitter, and I killed Facebook over a year ago. Before all of the vitriol really just bubbled. I think seeing all the hatred it's important to know that it's there and it's important to engage in it. It's important to acknowledge it. And it's an important thing to educate and be part of a conversation that's healthy for you. But I think seeing all of the division and all of the hatred and all of the horrible comments all the time and not knowing how to impact anything would have been an absolute debilitating experience for me. And so if I hadn't made the decision already, I think I would have given myself the advice to just kill social media and learn how to get involved with my social circle around me. Not to shut out the truth, but to build up my social circle, to turn to the people in my life, my core people, and then like the next couple layers out, that I can manage on my own and figure out what I need to do. Because I don't know how to be a voice on social media for a lot of the changes I think need to be made happen. I still have a hard time knowing how much I want to stand on a hill and be a voice when I still have to educate myself so much because I am so privileged. And so that's a hard line for me. So I'm not there yet where I'm going to go out. Like the stuff I share on social media, I think is an example of my opinion, but me going out and just stating my opinions hardcore right now, I'm still not comfortable doing because I'm not comfortable with the backlash. And that's something I have to work on. But I think I would tell myself it's okay to have to work on it. It's okay to get to the point where you're able to have conversations, but feel it and be okay with feeling stuff and make sure that you're talking to somebody that's safe.
Yeah.
This is kind of heavy. Is that a heavy thing? It's a heavy way to end the show. I'm sorry.
It's a very heavy way to end the show. It's a very heavy topic. There's some very heavy comments going on in the chat. And I want you to know we see you, we hear you, and we mourn with you, we grieve with you. We know it's been a crazy hard year for so many people.
Yeah.
I think, you know, for me, I would go back and tell myself simple shallow answer. Find a very comfortable mask that is large enough for your face. Understand where it comes from and make sure you have ability to, you know, continue to buy those or go ahead and buy 10 of them and, you know, wash them through. Like I would prepare myself for the practical nature of things, you know, a little bit better of understanding it. I would give myself the information that I didn't have then about, you know, how it was going to impact the day-to-day life. So that's the shallow answer. The deeper answer, I think, really has to wait. We're still in it. Now, I know we're kind of coming out of it. Like I said, we went out to eat last night. But what I mean by we're still in it is there is still a lot to be learned and a lot to be said about what has happened over the course of this pandemic and will continue. How this pandemic actually does finish will say a lot. Is this going to be something where people who get vaccines just go ahead and get a booster every year and people who don't just continue to get this disease? And we just continue to have spikes every winter from the people who don't want to get vaccines. Like, that's a possibility. We're going to learn more about the natural immunity that happens when you get it, how long that lasts. We're going to learn more about the vaccines, how long they last. Like, there's so much we don't know yet that it's hard to really know the deeper thing I would tell myself going back a year ago. The one thing I think that echoes what Danae was saying is probably I would tell myself to have a little more grace for the other humans in my life who are falling into the trap of division. There's so much about this pandemic that became, especially here in America, became such a divisive issue because we were going through a crazy election cycle, one of the most divisive election cycles we've ever had. We were going through a racial reckoning that has needed to happen and continues to need to happen in our country. And so we're going through all of these things that is, you know, for me, for somebody who takes pride in thinking independently and thinking critically and not being tied to a certain groupthink, man, did I start to see groupthink all around me. And I think I would have given myself a little more, just said, hey, have a little more grace for the groupthink you see in other people, to understand it's human nature, to understand divisiveness is hard, all that stuff. So yeah, I think if there was anything deeper I would have said to myself, it probably would be you're going to be disappointed in some ways at how science is treated as a political issue, and just, you know, find a way to find peace with humans being humans. Does that make sense? Does any of that make sense? Like, it's just, it's one of those things that I would just have to, you know, figure out on my own. And I don't think you can tell yourself that. I think you just have to learn it. So, yeah.
Yeah. We can't end there. I'm sorry. It's too deep. Too much.
Fair enough.
We have a speed round question. Aaron, broccoli or cauliflower from Lolly?
I mean, neither.
Okay. Toilet paper or the over under for the bidet?
I'm sorry, what? Toilet paper over. Toilet paper goes over the top. Hold on. Hey, if you're going to put the question up, let me answer the question. The toilet paper goes over, not under. Under is ridiculous. That makes no sense. And bidets are great. They're just, we don't have them culturally built into most of our toilets.
Toss with cheese or plain?
Plain.
Okay.
Mustard for Danae.
That's true.
Since she's not answering any of these questions, she's throwing them to me.
That's right. I would say cauliflower. Over. I'm okay with trying the bidet thing. And then plain tots if I have to have just a choice. But I would choose mustard if that was an option.
There you go.
Favorite type of donut?
Bear claw.
I like Bavarian cream filled. Caramel long john.
Some people call that custard.
Did she just say cauliflower? What did I say it wrong?
Yes.
Yeah. I said
no, you didn't say it wrong. I think Slab's maybe just questioning your choice.
Oh, okay.
cauliflower, especially as a crust to my pizza. If you guys have tried cauliflower crust and pizza, it's so good. I agree with you, Greg. Aaron is shaking his head.
No, it tastes like cauliflower. It's horrible.
It's so yummy. Oh my gosh. It's terrible. It's so delicious. What are you talking about? Oh, you guys.
Oh, wait. Are we different? Do we have different taste buds?
As always, we really appreciate you know us. We take our topics. We have up and down conversations. We go into deep places. We come back out. And we just appreciate you guys being along this journey with us. We go live every Mondays at 9 a.m. Central. You can follow us on all of the places that are listed down below. Twitter, we're on Facebook, but only because we have to be. Sorry, Facebook watchers. You can follow us on YouTube as well. And of course, on our individual Twitches, our individual Twitch channels, which for those of you guys who are watching on Twitch, I will be raiding Cactus Room, I think, although they might actually not be practicing guitar. So I'll check on that. You guys can also support us at Patreon, patreon.com/studioDNA, which for those of you who don't know, Aaron and I accidentally started a podcast network a long time ago, and there's still people who are producing content there, including ourselves. And so your dollars go to support us continuing to do podcasting and shows like this one. So that's kind of all the places that you guys can catch us. We do go live Mondays and some days. So if we are able to go live again this week, there will be no notification. It'll just pop up. So make sure if you're following us on Twitch or wherever you're following, you click the little icon and you'll get a notification that we are live.
I think you got it all. And the actual answer to my question is I would tell my old self to invest in Bitcoin, every dollar that I can find.
And, oh my gosh.
And that's the actual answer. All right, guys, we'll see you on the next Monday or Sunday.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in to listen to us shoo another dough.
If you'd like to watch the show live, we stream it on Mondays and Sundays at 9 a.m. Central on all major streaming platforms. Subscribe, follow, join the conversation on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, or maybe
you can also be a member of Team DNA. Members get their own custom podcast feed that will include not only the Monday show, but all bonus shows we do through the rest of the week. Membership is $5 a month, and you can join today at patreon.com/studioDNA.
Finally, thank you so much for being a part of this fun little community of awesomeness. Remember, your quirks aren't bugs, they're features. Find them, celebrate them, and know you're loved and valuable for just being you.
See you next time.